Good evening and welcome to another episode of the C-List Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. What's good, everyone? My name is AJ. I've got Luke and Red in the house. Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Well, why don't you tell them your real name?
That is my real name. What are you talking about?
Yes, it is. It is your real name. The initials of your real name.
The initials of my real name, yeah.
What's up?
What you drinking there, Luke?
I am drinking orange juice, fizzy water, vanilla, a little vanilla extract, and vodka. It tastes like orange Julius.
Wow. I got to try that out.
So good.
I'm going to need the ingredients for that one.
That's like one. Is it a 1-for-1 ratio on that thing?
Not the vanilla, no.
Okay.
Just a little test.
Because that extract is pretty strong.
Well, it's the syrup. It's like
like that Starbucks syrup that they use.
Yeah, like it's not Tarani, but like Tarani, it's like Tarani syrup.
All right,
gotcha.
Just one squeeze.
Yep.
You guys, have any plans for the weekend?
What's this weekend? What's going on this weekend?
Nothing.
Date? That's 22nd. That's 1/22/2022.
Well, the East Bay Comic Con's going on. E-Man's going to that.
No, actually, that's February.
Did it get pushed back?
Yeah, that's February. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll be there. And then I think there's another convention, a small one around here, but I got to find it. It's like somewhere down in the Santa Sauce County.
Okay. Miss So is joining us. Good evening, Miss So. Thank you for tuning in.
It was the smallest Comic-Con in the world. Actually, it wasn't even a Comic-Con. It was just like a
garage sale?
Well, there's probably like 60 vendors there. It was in an old abandoned mall in Portland.
Oh.
It was kind of creepy and kind of cool because like all the stores are closed down. So it's just like guys lined up with tables in front of the old stores.
They're riding the kiosk where the kiosk is supposed to be.
Yeah, but like literally like in front of the store. So the center is open.
Okay. All right.
And there's no stores open at all. And it's just a whole mall length of was mainly sports cards, but five comic guys came out, which was cool.
Red has a similar story. The outlets that closed down.
The outlets near our area closed down roughly about 15 years ago, and they had to repurpose that for about 3 years worth of conventions. And so I think they used the old Bass outlet store, Sony, and then I forgot the other one. I think it was Big Dog. So yeah, we have to go across the parking lot to get to the other vendors and then again to the next store or the vendor building. And then there's a separate one where they have also a reptile exhibit.
That's kind of cool, actually.
It was free with admission, so you got to play with the reptiles. But it was
I don't even mind weird stuff. I kind of like it, actually. It kind of changes it up.
Mm-hmm.
They had Kevin Eastman at that one, right, Red?
They did. And he was pretty affordable that day. It was like $20 per signature, $50 per sketch. And then it was limited to like two, but he opened it up for everybody else. And then it was unlimited. But he only was there till like 12 in the noon. And then you had to fly out and go to L.A.
for Comic-Con.
But yeah, the whole reptile exhibit, great idea. Maybe Comic-Con should take that idea and just expound on it and then make it into a petting zoo.
Are you kidding?
A petting zoo at Comic Con, it would be a great idea. They'll totally just eliminate the whole, walking around and not doing anything. You can just go to the petting zoo and then chill out with the animals, the alpacas.
I don't know about that idea.
Hey, they have all that room in the back with all the boats, right? In the back of like a San Diego Convention Center. So why not? Why not a petting zoo?
I don't know.
You actually read a lot.
Comic-Con petting zoo.
Maybe that's what we'll host. We'll host a petting zoo at Comic-Con.
I kind of like that.
Yeah,
Let's do it. Like we would probably make a lot of money.
Yeah.
$20 a pet.
And then you and I could be like Dwight Schrute and have like a hay maze.
We could crown the hay king.
Crown the hay king. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mr. Hay King is me.
Yes.
That little thing I went to, it was great because I just went to each little comic dealer and I was like, how much do you want for your whole table? They gave me a price, bought them all.
Buy?
Huh?
Was it pretty much a blind buy? Because
blind buy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I bought them all. I bought all five dealers out.
How many boxes was that?
Five tabletops were, so I don't know, 20 maybe? 20 boxes?
20 short boxes?
Shorts, longs, TV boxes, totes.
These guys were just cleaning out the garage and decided that, oh, we're going to go here and just sell our stuff we don't want.
Oh, yeah, these were garage guys. These were not con deals. That's why I was like, they're so excited about it.
Hey,
Have you had the chance to sift through to see what's in there?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually pulled... Oh, I pulled a good one. A couple giant sizes.
Giant size X-Men?
Oh.
It's a Daredevil.
There's
X-Men. Oh, dude, and the giant size were nice.
So that was pretty cool.
So those books paid for the lot that you bought.
Yeah, I hope so. I haven't sold it yet.
But it's looking like it.
Let me ask you something. When these guys do these, do they know that they have something key in there and they just don't care, or you think they just forget?
Some do, some don't. Two of them were former shop owners from the 90s. And they were pretty cool, actually. It was really fun talking to them. They both said they were real, real successful. Did about 15 years, late 80s, 90s, and got out after the collapse. But
wow,
they're still sitting on the treasure trove of stuff in their storage.
Yeah, because those guys, you know, the 90s, you could buy anything. You could buy a 181 for $50. Pretty, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is it
worth? Misso wants to know, what's the giant size X-Men worth these days?
This one's pretty much in low grade, and I'm asking $1,750. So higher grades go, the highest grade goes all the way up to $60,000.
Red, just to let you know, Misso loves your petting zoo idea. So
yes, I told you she's into it. Do it.
I'd be down for that.
Listen, Misso, we want you on the show. We want you to converse with us. So whenever you're ready, we've got an open spot for you on the round table here.
I mean that you know, petting zoo plus our dating app or
meet and greet. We're gonna do a meet and greet
and petting zoo.
You know what? Dating at a petting zoo would be a super disarming place to meet somebody.
Yeah.
The animals would, they're like the conversation starters, you know?
Yeah, they're emotional, what do you call it? De-stressing animals. So, yeah.
Emotional support, yep.
Yeah, emotional support.
I love that idea, dating with a petting zoo.
Let's make it happen.
We are like sitting on a gold mine here.
And then we'll also bring in dogs to adopt. Like all the animal shelters could bring their stuff there.
Herbs is giving you some props, Luke.
Thank you, Herbs.
What a boss. Well, didn't know that those comments went for that much, for so much.
Yeah, high grade is pretty expensive. I mean, right now on a comic collector, high grade goes for 9,000 raw. Mid grade, 3,000.
This is the kind of stuff you got to be looking for when you're like at.
Nice pants, Luke.
Thank you, my man. I'm wearing some little my little Yodi jammies. See?
Yeah, see right on the ass too. That's perfect.
Check this out. I scored this. That's a profit number one, but it's the Todd McFarlane variant.
Oh shit! Okay, and nice. They just came out with a new book with John Jang has a cover on it.
Yeah, it looks like they're really pushing it because I think Liefeld got a production deal or some sort of
With profit
movie.
But dude, that's thing. Like a $50 to $100 book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is another one, Savage Dragon.
Oh, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one actually. That's issue one.
Oh, come on, you got to take the sticker off. Jeez. Oh, there you go.
What issue is that?
40. It's issue 40.
Oh, okay.
That's a $50 book all day long. A lot of people don't know these kind of obscure. So 90s books actually can have some value now. They're coming back.
Someone's sitting on those. Someone's sitting on the whole
stack. No, you know what books that I think are going to come back or that are going to start gaining value? All those like X-Men swimsuit issue books and all those like more like cupcakey Marvel variants that – you know, are not going to happen now that Disney owns them.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Like, what was it? Marvel or Marville? The little.
The Mary Jane.
Greg Horn did all those covers for her.
Yeah, those books, I think, like, are going to start going up in value because you're not going to see those type of covers from Marvel anymore.
So I was stuck on the Volume 2 X-Men Annual. Where Jim Lee did his whole spread with Psylocke and Rogue and bikinis.
Okay. I thought that was like a swimsuit comic.
Wow, that was part of their
that was X-Men number one. Yeah.
Wait, X-Men one number one didn't had them in swimsuits.
Yeah,
the annual.
No, not the annual. X-Men number one had them in the last. Before the last page, there's a two-page double spread.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see what you're saying.
With them all in, it was like they were all in swimsuits.
Okay, yes. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'm telling you what, as an 11-year-old, that really kind of like freaked me out.
Man, Jim Lee knew how to draw boobs. That's all I know.
Jim Lee was my friend. He was my friend when I was 11 back then. We had no access to the internet or anything. It was just like, what are these boobs? I've never seen boobs before.
Yeah. Well, let's talk some comic book stuff.
Remember that little obscure title called X-Mutants?
Yeah.
Done by Malibu.
Oh, yeah. No. X-Mutants?
Yeah, there was some straight-up nudity on that one, too.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I had to, like... sneak in the like more salacious stuff because my parents were so overly religious.
Same here, but my dad also had like a stack of Playboys in the bathroom just waiting.
All right, well let's talk some comic books here. And speaking of the prices of certain things going up in value, did you guys all see that Secret Wars original page going for $3.3 million.
Who bought it? Jay-Z?
No. It was... I don't think they revealed who bought it.
Some kind of venture capitalist?
I don't know. But you saw the headline, right? Right, Luke? Did you read about it?
I did. I got told who bought it, too.
Oh, wow. So... okay, this is some news that I was not aware of. So it wasn't, there's a lot of people were saying that it was all kind of like all within the same people that are trying to like inflate prices. I mean, this was a legit buy then.
It's a legit buy. The guy owns a lot of art, So,
is it all just comic art, or is he just an art collector of everything?
Comic art, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
The big ones, all the big ones.
Does he need any more dependents? Because I could be adopted and I could be placed in the will, right?
I know. Oh man.
For those who are not aware, there was a original page from the Secret Wars storyline. Mm-hmm. This page is the essentially, I guess you could say, the splash page that reveals Spider-Man in the symbiote outfit.
No, but it's the same as the cover, though, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's confusing me, is did they use that same art for the cover and the page?
I thought so. That's what I thought.
They okay, just... so that would make sense, because that's pretty rare they would use a cover and the... I can't remember. I have to verify that, actually. Was the cover and the page the same? Because if that's the case, I could actually see that being $3 million. The cover of Secret Wars 8, and if that was the splash, definitely.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, nowadays, I feel like when artists know that they have a book coming out where there's a potential first appearance character, they always do that now. Like, that next print will be the cover whenever there's a reveal. Like, they're always doing that now.
Well, and they're... I don't blame them, because if I was an artist, I'll do the same thing. But they, you know, if it's a first appearance page now, it's like $15,000, $18,000. You're not getting it for $500 anymore. That ship is sick.
Well, unless you get the lesser known artist. But yeah, if it was like McFarlane or
Lee. No, even the lesser known guys. I'm not kidding. If they have a first appearance page, they are all charging.
Yeah.
I better go hit up my guy Chris Merriden then. See what he has.
What were you looking at, Red?
I don't know, because he's done Nova and a couple of New Warriors and some
Wonder. I know you said you met him. I was like, dang, you had some pages. How much was he charging there?
They were like $250 to like $500 a piece, a page.
Okay.
The average. I didn't get to look through all of them, so I'll see him again at the East Bay Comic Con and go through
the biggest thing you need to ask Red is, are these ink over pencil or are these ink over blue line? That's a big difference. The blue line pages, three to $500 all day. You know, if they're pencils and ink, that's money. That's the money.
Yeah, they're straight pencils.
Pencils and inks?
Yep.
Dang.
I mean, some of them have coffee stains.
I don't bug me none.
Yeah.
I actually got a couple of pages from that show. That were that
Randy Amber. Nice.
You guys will appreciate this one too. This one is Robotech Macross.
Oh wow.
So that one's pretty cool, and this one even has the dialogue is cut out.
Yeah,
like pasted over. So I was pretty stoked to grab that one. And then another one is Batman Superman number one, page one, which was kind of crazy.
Wow!
I was like, what? How did I grab that?
What volume then?
I haven't looked it up yet. It just says BVS Batman 01. But see, this one, I think this one is actually, it looks like pencils. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's two pages taped together.
Yeah.
2.5 by 11s equals 11 by 17.
Because the guy must have like taken forever to do each top and bottom.
That's nice. I was
pretty happy about those. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to hang those up soon.
No, I'm not hanging them up.
They
fade out and they get yellow.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, not until you get that ultraviolet. No, not ultraviolet. Well,
UV protected.
UV protected, yeah.
No, I do get the museum glass. I pay up big time for that, but it doesn't stop everything. It's like 90% or something.
So you're just going to put them in your portfolio? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put the prints out. Actually, I do have some originals.
Yeah.
I put those away.
Miss So was saying, I wish I could collect art. We just don't have the room in our apartment. Well, you know, you don't have to hang it up. You could just, you know, put it like Luke does, put it in a portfolio. Yeah.
Yeah, because most all comic pages are 11 by 17.
So yeah,
there's a big enough portfolio to cover them up and store them.
Yeah.
Unless you have, you know, one-offs and commissions and you know, one of the bigger size, and you might have to hang those up or put them somewhere safe or roll them up.
Yeah.
Totally.
So do you think the Secret Wars page, it's a sign of things to come, or was this an offshoot?
Well, it more than tripled the Hulk 181 page, or the Hulk 180 page, sorry, with Wolverine's first appearance. That was like 600,000. It's 3 million. It doesn't make a lot of sense. That's why everyone's talking about it. I don't think it portends a lot of things to come, but...
Right. Maybe the only thing that's going to come is more or higher prices on these things now. That's it.
Yeah. But you can still find comic art for cheap.
Yeah.
Just not those first appearances anymore.
Yeah. Or like get obscure ones. Like there's one that like whenever I see like an obscure character that I know may never come back, that's always kind of cool to have.
Like War Bushman or
no, there was one that I was looking at. I just didn't buy it. I didn't pull the trigger on it. But it was on it's a Marvel character that's been in one issue, and it was a Ms. Marvel comic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, was it her like cousin or something?
I can't remember who it was, but it was a character I knew that like would probably never come back. But I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know, something obscure.
Seriously.
Yeah.
We haven't watched Scott's channel. I think E-Man does.
Hoarder's Hide.
I unfortunately have not watched it, but, you know, try to check it out when I get the time. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I hope he gives out his address so we know who to rob.
Jeez, stop that.
That's just a joke.
Yeah. Let's talk about that whole news about the new Batman movie going for 162 minutes. Almost 3 hours. Oh, I put two, but I meant three.
Yeah,
that is a lot of Batman to watch.
Are we looking at another origin here?
I hope it better not be full on origin. I want year it to two. Be all Batman.
It's year two.
Okay, year two. Where are they pulling stories from? What volume and what issues?
Like,
I don't know, because I don't recall Riddler having any like older.
Is that like the 430s to 440s kind of right in there?
Most likely.
Year one was like 404 to like 410 or something. Then they went to year two.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. But I mean, do you guys think this is? I don't know, man. Do you guys think that's a little too long?
Gosh,
not as good. Not as good.
You sat through No Way Home and Eternals was a pretty long movie. I think that was 2.5 hours for Eternals. And then Lord of the Rings is about roughly four.
No, Lord of the Rings is not a 4-hour movie.
Return of the King was at least a 4-hour movie.
In the movie theater? No way. No way did I see it.
3 hours, 20 minutes.
I think the extended edition went almost 4 hours, probably. But.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
With all the fucking 15 separate endings for every character in there.
Yeah.
What else? What was it? Endgame was pretty long as well.
Endgame is long.
Yeah.
It seems very intense and very violent, so it might get to be a little much, but it might also be awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm hoping that
I love the aesthetic. Zoe Kravitz is a straight 10. I mean, I love the castings for everything.
Have they revealed who the Riddler is? What actor that is?
Paul Dano? Did I get this name wrong?
Oh, I thought you were saying Paul Giamatti. I'm like, what?
Hey, no, the guy from There Will Be Blood. I can never remember his name. That's the Riddler.
Okay.
I don't know if that's Paul Dano. Why am I thinking Paul Dano? There Will Be Blood. You know, There Will Be Blood, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
The minister guy.
Yeah. Okay. The son, right? Wasn't he the son?
Yeah, and then he gets tricked. That's the Riddler. I don't know if they've officially revealed it yet or not, but it is.
Yeah. Yeah, his is already on IMDb.
Oh, it's okay.
Well, it says Edward Nashton is his name. Oswald Cobblepot is Colin Farrell. So where did I see this guy from? Okay, There Will Be Blood, and who else?
Oswald is that the Penguin's real name?
Oswald Cobblepot, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Cowboys and Aliens.
I'm most excited for him, honestly, the Penguin, because it's totally a Tom Cruise, you know.
Yeah, what do you call it? A Tropic Thunder kind of deal.
Tropic Thunder.
Getting the fat suit.
Yeah, you know, it's very different from Colin Farrell's normal, I guess. Actually, you know what? Colin Farrell is in a typecast type of character. He kind of plays by his own rules. Like he does a little bit of everything.
Well, did you watch True Detective?
Not that season. I heard it was in a good season.
It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. It was still pretty provocative.
Okay.
But no, not as good as season one. Season one was a goddamn masterpiece. And I have not watched Ewan McGregor's, which is kind of sacrilege, but
I mean, Red, what do you think? Are you looking forward to watching Batman for 3 hours?
Well, shit, I guess I'm not drinking whole fucking 32-ounce worth of Diet Coke, then.
Oh, I will. I'll have the biggest drink and biggest popcorn, everything.
Well, if that's the case, then I'll get the aisle seat. That way I have direct line of sight to the restroom. And I'll just pick a part where it's boring and then take my piss. If not, I'll piss in the cup. I'll bring a stadium.
When's it coming out?
Oh, shit. Good question.
Is it March?
I know it's in March. I just don't know the date, though.
March 4th.
Oh, okay. March
4th. We only got 6 weeks. That's awesome.
I don't think anything else is going to come out before. Well, take that back. Wasn't Morbius supposed to come out before then? But they moved it?
I think they moved that one, yeah, because of pandemic and all that stuff.
No, they're still milking Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're not doing reshoots for that.
Has that broken a billion yet? Has Spider-Man broken a bill?
I think so.
I thought it did a while back, yeah.
Did it?
A week and a half in. I don't think any movie has had an intermission. Actually, I'll take that back. No,
Godfather, I thought, did.
No, the Snyderverse Justice League did have intermissions in there.
No, but yeah, but that was you watched that at home. I think she meant like in the theater.
Oh, the Dances with Wolves is my favorite one. Yeah.
Oh, Dances with Wolves had that?
Yeah, they had like a 10-minute intermission.
Okay, I thought, didn't Godfather have that as well?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But you and I weren't old enough to, actually all three of us. Like
yeah, 71, 72. Yeah.
I have no clue what this means, but Ver, FYI.
It's trying to get us to click some crypto link, probably.
Oh, so is this some bot? That's well, yeah, welcome to watching the show, Sarink Perinsa.
Well, what it is, sadly, it's some bot farm slave that like criminals they go out. I'm not kidding. Criminal gangs, they enslave like groups of 50 to 100 people, and they make them work in these bot farms. Like just doing crazy scam, online scamming stuff.
Yep.
Herbs is telling us that there's a site without spoilers that lets you know the best time to visit the bathroom. I've heard about that.
Run, pee, run. I like going to the bathroom during a movie only because it gives me a moment to when I rewatch it that I will not have seen.
Wait, say that again?
You know what I mean? Like when I rewatch in the future, be like, oh, I missed that part when I was in the bathroom.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Hey,
I think every new movie should be viewed twice. You know, just when you do have to do that.
Yeah.
Every good movie, at least.
I rewatched Interstellar today. Great movie.
That's the one with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, McConaughey, Anne Hathaway. Matt Damon, fantastic movie.
All
right. Matt Damon's in that too?
Yeah, Matt Damon's in it. He plays a crazy astronaut.
It seems like it kind of carries over from The Martian, right? Or am I mixing the two movies together?
No, it's completely opposite tones.
All right.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about Book of Boba Fett. Chapter 4. Red, you seem to have liked the episode. You were talking about it.
Yeah, I was the only one that texted you guys. Like, dude, you guys got to watch this episode.
No, I watched it. I watched it.
It moved the story. It wasn't a Robert Rodriguez directed episode. It was, I forgot who the director was, but it wasn't the girl. But
no.
This was nicely paced with a lot of flashbacks to how he rescued Fennec and then their current troubles with the Pike. I guess they're not a conglomerate, but like a mafia kind of type of deal, or trying to take over the planet and all of its spice trade.
Yeah.
But and he kind of revealed why he was in the Bacta tank so long, because he still had acid from the stomach of the what's that creature?
Sarlacc.
The Sarlacc, yeah. Yeah, so he was still healing from that. And that could explain why he was too weak to fight a Krazantan.
That's true.
You know what? I'm digging Krazantan more and more. Like, the look that he gives when he was at the bar or casino, whatever that was.
Yeah, after she bribed him. She bribed him like zeroing out his tab if he lets the dude go. But fucker just rips out his arm.
That was pretty funny.
And I was actually surprised when spoiler alert, Boba Fett, when he got his Slave One ship back and then he enacts revenge on those that killed the Tusken Raiders.
Oh, if you like your game.
Yeah, I was surprised that Disney allowed that. He just annihilated that whole crew.
I love that part.
No, don't get me wrong. That was a pretty awesome part.
Well, yeah, the Tuskens took him in, took care of him, you know, pretty much raised him up to be family. But then, you got to get revenge for I guess your new family.
Yeah.
But how about Fennec when she dropped that concussion bomb into the Sarlacc?
That was a cool move. Although I don't know why they just didn't think about that in the beginning. Was Boa trying to like save that at bomb for another time?
No, he just probably wasn't thinking about it. It just shows that Fennec thinks on her feet.
Okay. I would have been like, I think that would have been like the first thing I would have been like, can we throw like some sort of grenade or bomb in there to kill it?
It was in the back of the ship, right? They're like, you know, visor forward with falling into the fucking pit. Like, he couldn't really launch it. It had to like drop from the back and then into the hole.
Yeah.
There was another scene that I thought was pretty funny when they were
the rat catcher.
When he was when he was trying to kill the little mini droid in the kitchen.
Rat catcher. The rat catcher, yeah.
Rat catcher, is that what it's called?
Yeah. The rat catcher. Like, remember they called him like, get the rat catcher.
Oh, okay.
And then he comes in, all happy.
And they kept him. Because if you see him, he's in the episode later on when they're at the palace and they're Bubba's feeding his those other mob bosses.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally missed that. Was he there?
He was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice little callback there for the rat catcher. I probably got reprogrammed that way he doesn't get scared of him. But it was a great deal where they had the dinner right there on top of the pit.
Yeah,
the Rancor. Pit.
Yeah.
And then in order to get them like to comply, Rancor gave him a little scare down below. Yeah.
So where's Danny Trejo? Is he just hanging out in the little down there? Like, he doesn't even get to hang out with anyone else.
Not the crew, not the big crew. I think they have a little apartment down there.
I hope so.
Little quarters.
The trainer and the Rancor have to be together in order for the him to be trained, right?
Or for the Rancor to stay like calm, I guess.
But really, I think if Danny Trejo had a full role in there, then they'll probably bust open their budget as far as like actors.
That's what I thought too. Yeah,
he gets little bits and parts here.
I know. I'm pretty sure it's a money thing, but it would be cool to know that he has like a place to like sleep and eat. You know?
Yeah.
Are there stairs that they can go to?
Well, remember, but when you do drop into the Rancor pit, there's another set of doors where actually Luke fell out of, or he walked out of, right? After he killed the Rancor.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of thinking about the setup of the palace. Like, it's weird because it's high up, but I could have sworn I remember, like, in the movie, you see everyone walk downstairs, not up.
Yeah.
So, the whole setup of that palace is weird.
No, they still walk downstairs. They still walk downstairs.
Exactly. You would think that you'd be walking upstairs, right? Because the view
upstairs is like the palace bedrooms and whatever, and then you have the downstairs where you jump into the throne room with Jabba the Hutt and the Rancor pit.
Okay. So the downstairs is the entertainment room, and then upstairs are all the bedrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
The throne room, yeah.
Throne room, okay. And the Bacta tanks.
But then if you're saying that, then in the movies, is everyone hanging out in the bedrooms and going downstairs then?
Yeah.
No, in the movie, they were on throne room the whole time. And then they had the dungeons down there too. That's where they kept Han Solo and Chewie.
No, but I could have sworn there was scenes where characters were walking downstairs.
Only from the entrance.
Okay. All right.
I mean, like, garage or hangar entrance.
All right. I'm trying to get the logistics of the whole palace. I know that, like, none of it makes any sense.
Not much, but you make a good point where some of it doesn't make sense, but there's already an established layout in one of the older Star Wars books.
I was really trying to pay attention when like they're trying to do the layout of the palace. I'm like, okay, how does this whole setup work?
Well, they did do a layout with the little sneaky orb thing.
Where, I know, like, I was trying to pay attention.
Maybe is that something we didn't get to see in the previous movies where this is where they kept all the ships and whatever Jabba's
Yeah, we didn't see that.
Yeah.
Well, Luke, what are you thinking about the show or this episode at least?
Honestly, it was kind of hard for me to follow. It's hard for me to remember a lot because it jumped around a lot. Like with the Fennec and the, it confused me. So they just, does she have no guts left at all?
Apparently not. Yeah.
And then why is she eating? Like, where's that food going?
I didn't think about that.
Well, she's a straight up cyborg now.
She has no guts.
No guts? But there was actual blood and whatever fluids are circling. Yeah. No, he fed her. He fed her that the black melon.
Oh, so that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. She just has mechanical guts.
Mechanical guts. So that just pushes the stuff right out.
Mm-hmm. And then I had to go rewatch episode one of season two of Mandalorian, and it kind of showed where those little bright flares came from. It's when Mando and the one rookie bounty hunter were trying to distract Fennec from shooting them from on top of the hill.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so yeah. That was a direct scene from Mandalorian.
Not a direct scene, but a reshot.
Right. Yeah. I know what you mean, yeah. But it's
I'm not going to lie, you guys. I'm getting a little Tatooine fatigue.
A bit. But by the end of this episode, they had a little theme change. They changed it to the Mandalorian theme. Which means that we will get to see either Din Djarin or some semblance of the Mandalorians. In order, I guess they're going to hire them to fight with them.
Oh, is that what the whole thing was when she was like, "We need to get more."
Yeah. You have to get muscle. How much money do you have in the bank? Yeah, we're going to get these guys. And then they changed the theme from the Boba Fett theme to the Mandalorian theme.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
It ended right before it ended with the Mando theme.
Yeah.
Luke, it sounds like
that was the best part about the Mandalorian. Every week was a different world, and it was just so exciting. Every week was so exciting.
I don't know. I'm starting to. This episode kind of grew on me. I like the little intricacies of the politics. I'm starting to get entertained by the politics of it all.
Well, Luke is like his dad, Anakin. He hates sand.
I like the water planets and the ice planet. And, I'm getting Tatooine fatigue. I go to the Haji Station.
Get some power converters.
Are you still going to stick with the show, or are you going to call it quits?
No, I'm sticking with it. I'll stick with it.
Three more to go. Three more episodes to go.
Yeah, where am I going to go? I mean,
that's true.
After that, we'll get Moon Knight.
Yeah.
I'm at home with my 3-year-old all day now.
So we get to binge watch on Book of Boba Fett and Peacemaker.
I'm not watching Peacemaker anymore. I'm sorry. I tried. I gave it 2 episodes and. I can't do it.
It's pretty rough.
Red, are you still watching it?
Yeah, of course. I'm going to go through the end.
Give us a rundown. Give us a view a rundown of episode 3 then.
Yeah, I will. After I watch it.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't had time. I'm going to go finish up episode 2 by tomorrow night and then go through 3 and then. By that time, I think episode 4 will be ready to go.
Herbs is saying the Peacemaker is rough. Yes, it is. But it's caught Red's attention. Red's digging it.
James Gunn is a perfectly good writer and director. So he can make something as vanilla as Peacemaker and make him to like some sort of star just because of the comedic talents of John Cena.
You think John Cena has comedic timing?
Yeah. He's really stiff, but, you know, that's how Dave Bautista, Drax, was like that in the first volume of Guardians of the Galaxy, and then he kind of improved on that the next movie.
I don't know. I feel like Bautista has a little more acting range. Herbs is saying, wait, what?
We're talking about wrestlers here, guys.
I know.
Wrestlers know how to act. They know how to act hurt. They know how to act when they get hit. Wrestling is soap opera for guys.
If that's the case, then Hulk Hogan should have been nominated for like 10 Oscars by now, right?
Yeah, but he only made like 2 crappy movies.
Herbs is saying that Peacemaker's too woke. First line, in the future, I will trust white people less and kill a higher percentage of them. Are you satisfied? I thought that was a joke. I mean, I caught that as a joke. I didn't think it was. I think it was trying to be woke. Trying to be funny. But I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Herbs. Well, what are you guys going to? What's the comic grade on Book of Boba Fett Chapter 4? Red?
9.4 for me.
9.4. Luke?
8.5. I'd give it an 8.5.
8.5. I'm gonna give it a solid 9. I liked it. Like I said, you know, I think people are like this episode. You know, I think you said a couple weeks back, people want Sopranos in space. I think we got a little bit of that. It's gonna be very Disney-esque, but it is. We got a little bit of the mob politics of Tatooine. So I'm okay with that. So, yeah, I'll have to give it a solid 9. Anyone pick up any good books?
No, not yet. I'm waiting tomorrow to go get books.
No? No? Let's see. What did I pick up? I picked up 7 Hulk Secrets Hulk to read.
No Holds Barred and Suburban Commando. Do you think those are Oscar-worthy movies? For someone of Hulk Hogan's stature,
I love Suburban
Commando. I'm just saying, you said that they're great actors. So if they're great actors,
does it carry over to real movies?
Yes.
Looking at Dave Bautista and John Cena, yeah, it does. For Hulk Hogan's, I don't know yet.
But that's what I'm saying.
That was the late 80s, and you know.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Bautista has better acting range than John Cena.
Yeah, but he has a better opportunities now to get into a good movie versus Hulk Hogan back in the 80s to get into a shitty movie.
Yeah, but we're not.
We played Debo on Friday.
Yeah, but we're not talking about. You said that wrestlers are good actors.
Okay, I stand by that comment.
Okay, I'm saying that they're not good actors, but. Bautista is actually a decent actor.
Yes.
Can't you say that wrestlers are good actors?
They're good performers. I wouldn't say they're good actors.
Yeah, I'll give you good performers.
Thanks.
They're not Patrick Stewart up there, you know.
No, they're not. They're not. But, you know, you got a good performance out of Debo, you know, I mean, Tiny Lister playing Debo on Friday.
Okay.
I mean, he was just playing an extension of
yeah, that's all he needed to do.
Of Zeus from Noel's Barley.
Oh, I forgot The Rock. Like the most famous wrestler turned actor.
Yeah, he can't act either. He's an awful actor.
Yeah. I would say he is charismatic and that's what carries the movies he's in. But as far as acting, I don't know about acting.
All of his movies, real life. The thing about Dwayne Johnson is that the way he is in his movies, that's just him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You see him in real life. You catch him at like his worst moment. You know, you see him like in his house, the door closed. Man, he's the same, man. He's not changing here, there, for you, yeah, for me.
The rundown and the walking tall, it's just Dwayne Johnson.
Because that guy... That guy was fucking poor into his 20s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he didn't last long as a Miami Hurricane because he blew his knee out. So he couldn't play football. He got into
fights with people. Man, he was poor into his 20s. He got cut from the Canadian Football League. He had $7 to his name. That's why he named his studio that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep. That is a true story.
That's why he's so awesome. That's why he's so charismatic, because he's like, I had nothing and now I have everything.
He does wear the same khaki outfit with, I don't know about the green shirt, but he does wear khaki outfits all the time.
Yeah, that guy can wear anything, whatever he wants, man. Like, if he ran for president this year, you know he'd win.
There's been talk that he would run.
I think he's going for governor of Florida first. He's going to go the whole Ronald Reagan route.
I'd vote for him, but was he born in Samoa or in
he's born in Hayward, California.
He's born in he's natural born.
Well, if he was born in Samoa, would that still make him a U.S. citizen or no?
It does. It does. Because that's a U.S. territory.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
My wife, Herb's wife and BFF said they will only register to vote for him. Wow.
Hey, we're at that point in our lives where we should be voting for presidents through American Idol. Telephone lines, okay?
Stop. Don't say that. Do not say that. Dwayne Misso is saying I'd vote for Dwayne for office. All right.
So many people. I would.
Yeah, remember that one shtick he did on SNL? He was like the Rock Obama.
Yes, I remember. I remember. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I would least want to hear what is.
Yeah, what is his views are, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what I just looked up? People born in U.S. territories can be president. There's only a single exception,
which is
Samoa.
No way. Really?
I don't know why that is. It's the only exception to the rule. That's so
weird. I didn't know that.
It's probably them saying we're independent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, unless it becomes a state, then everything gets not reverted, but like, you know, kind of retro. Everybody's availability and status into a
president. Would they retro it? I mean, now we're getting to stuff so we don't even know. Let's not forget it. Let's not talk about that stuff. All right. We're saying it here. Dwayne's going to be president 2026? 2025?
2032, some random, you know what I mean?
Yeah, at least 16 years from now, or not 16 years, at least within that time span.
All right. So within our lives, God willing, that he's going to be the president.
Well, he'll run. I don't know if he will win, but he'll run.
Okay. Will he still be buff or will he get skinny?
He'll look like Barack.
He's gotten slim it down, right?
Well, Arnold's slimmed down a bit, but he still has some bulk.
Yeah, he's still got some bulk. No, he's still gonna be a big dude, but or he's gonna get really fat.
I think he's too vain to get fat.
He's just gonna be like a huge monster.
Yeah, he's gonna bring his own GM.
He's gonna bring actual Jabba. Gonna be actual Jabba, just
yeah, that'd be great. being vain, he's gonna bring his home gym from Florida and then install it in the White House garden.
In a Gold's gym at the White House.
Yeah.
On the lawn, and people can come use it.
Like, no, he's gonna have all his meetings at the gym.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've covered everything we needed to cover tonight, guys, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I didn't.
A 9-4 for Boba Fett. And then my homework is to finish up Peacemaker, right?
Yeah. Again, I didn't pick up. I picked up Seven Secrets. Haven't read it yet. Other than that, what other books did I pick up? That was the main book. Oh, there's a new Wolverine book that came out. There's this one cover. I'll put it up on my IG later on this week. But there's a new Wolverine book that came out. Check that out. I heard it's a pretty decent read. Other than that, make sure you follow us on IG. You can follow me, AJ the Comic Collector. Follow Luke at Luke Weeks. Follow Red, C-List Villainous Red. Follow E-Man, C-List E-Man. Again, if you I should say this in the beginning, but make sure you like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so that you know whenever we're on. Make sure you let your friends all make sure you let all your friends know about the show, and follow our two Instagram accounts, C-List Villains and the C-List Villains Podcast. Lastly, go to Luke's Facebook group, RKFA Comics, and check out his website, rkfacomics.com. Thanks Herbs, again, guys.
I cover politics, but I'm not going to share it on this show. But yeah. We all do follow it somehow. It's a mess. So we're not allowed to talk politics on the show unless it involved the comic book world.
Yeah. And yes, Miss So Seven Secrets, pick up that trade. If you haven't been reading it, it is my favorite comic book. I think it's on issue 7 or no, maybe even more than that because it's the start of the second arc. But yes, check it out. From Boom Comics, Seven Secrets. Other than that, guys, we'll see you guys next week. Peace out.
Are you talking about this one? Hulk number 3? There's a new villain in there?
No, it's a Wolverine book.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I look for it. Bye, guys.
All right. See you.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the C-List Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at clistvillains@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail or text us at 209-975-7597. Be sure to join Luke Week's Facebook group, Rare Keys and First Appearance Comics. And you can follow us on our two Instagram accounts, clistvillains and clistvillains Podcast. Lastly, follow the villains on their separate IG accounts, at Luke Week's, at C-List Villainous Red, at C-List E-Man, and I am at AJ the Comic Collector. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all.